Hello.
Hi, Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Jeffrey Hill calling again. I talked to you last...
Hi, how are you? Yeah, I remember. How are you?
I'm good, good. Thanks for, giving me some time to talk to you about this stuff.
Yeah, no problem. Not at all.
I just, I was looking at that John Field guy's Facebook page there, and it was talking about all the stuff you guys were doing down in Washington the other day.
Yeah. Did you see mine?
No, why, you got a Facebook too?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, I just, I didn't know you had that.
Actually, I spell my name different on Facebook. Because they deleted my account one time, so when I went to put it back on, I didn't know if they were going to allow me to, so I just changed the spelling a little bit. So I spell it with two N's instead of one. And I spelled my last name K-L-I-N-E instead of K-L-E-I-N.
Oh, yeah, I see. Okay. Yeah, I just looked you up right now. I just add you as a friend, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I have my iPhone, so I could just accept you now.
Okay. Yeah, I was just, I don't know if, I posted some stuff on his Facebook. It was some 60 Minutes article I came across, or not an article, like a 60 Minutes piece where it was called The Dust at the World Trade Center.
All right.
And it was, Katie Couric was the reporter on it, and it was talking about, all the stuff that was going on with people, in the aftermath of 9/11 and the problems with the dust and everything and their health problems and everything like that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I guess he deleted it from his Facebook. I don't know why. I sent him a message asking him why he deleted it, but I guess he had his reasons for it, but I don't know.
When did you send it to him?
I posted it on his Facebook like 2 days ago, and then when I just went to look at it just now, I see that it's not there anymore. So.
Oh, well, John deletes just about everything people send him because he gets stuck all day long. And if he doesn't know what it is or who it's from, he'll just delete it. So, but I'll tell him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess
he probably knows about it. Anyway. He probably saw the video, or he might have had something to even do with the video.
Yeah, I just thought that it was like it kind of had something to do with what you guys were doing. And I thought, it would be good like to get awareness for it. Like I never really looked into all that stuff until recently.
Yeah.
And I was talking to this one lady. Her name's Carmen Taylor. She took like that famous photo of 175 going into just before it went into the building.
Right.
And she sent me some links from a guy named Alan Tannenbaum.
Yeah, Alan was with us in Washington yesterday.
Oh, was he, yeah?
Yeah, he's like one of our official photographers for the Fielder Foundation.
Oh, yeah, and she was saying, like, you got to check out his links because he's did a lot of work to try and get awareness towards that stuff. And I was reading through his page, and I guess, like, I don't know if a lot of people know, but I guess, like, there's a lot of people that are... like have a lot of health problems from this stuff.
There have been over 900, close to 900 people that have died already from 9/11 related illnesses. Not on 9/11. We're talking about years later.
Yeah.
We're up to, I would say, just under 900.
And then I noticed like something where there was a road dedicated to John McNamara.
John McNamara was a friend of ours. He was a New York City firefighter, and he contracted cancer from working down at Ground Zero, and he died last August. So last Sunday, we were at the street naming, the block that he lived on out here in Long Island. They named it after him. They did dedication. They put a sign up saying, in memory, or dedicated to New York City firefighter John McNamara.
I seen a little video of that. Was he like one of the first people to die because of the?
He just died last year. There have been almost 900 people that have died within the last 9 years. Probably started a year after 9/11. People started coming down with all these serious cancers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I seen the pictures on that thing that Alan Tannenbaum did, and there's some. There's some people that don't look very healthy because of that stuff.
I don't even know. I'm not sure which pictures you're talking about because he does so much stuff. I don't even know. I might not even have seen it on his website or.
It was on Soho Blues.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's got several books. Alan's been doing photography for something like 20, 25 years now. He has a couple of books out, which you can probably buy if you're interested. I guess you could probably email him and ask him where you can get them. You could probably get them on Amazon.com.
Yeah, I guess he took some pics of, like, people falling from the buildings and stuff like that, too.
Yeah. Horrible stuff.
Yeah, pretty horrible stuff, yeah. Like, I guess that whole day is horrible, and it's still horrible now.
Like, yes.
Are you still with the New York Police Department, or?
No, I retired in 2003.
Oh, did you, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I did my 20 years, and then I started getting sick. So between the combination of the two, I felt that it was time to go.
Like, were you were down there, like, in the aftermath of 9/11? Like, were you involved?
I was there that morning.
You
were there the morning of 9/11 when the second tower came down, yeah.
Oh, you were there when the second tower came down?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? I wasn't right
there where the tower came down. It was a couple of blocks away by City Hall, right by the Brooklyn Bridge. We just got there. We just came over the bridge when it happened, when the second tower came down.
Were you there, like after, like, 9/11? Were you there in the...
I put in close to 800 hours myself down there. I was there on and off. Well, first of all, for the first couple of months, I was there almost every single day, 16 hours a day. They put us on 16-hour shifts.
Oh, yeah? So, like, you were all over? You were, like, in the basements and everything, too?
Yeah. Yeah. We were in that pit. We were digging through the rubble and going down on ladders into openings that we could fit into, looking for bodies or victims and so on and so forth.
Like, did you see any molten metal in the basements anywhere?
I never made it down into the basement. I mean, actually, nobody did until later on. We didn't get down that deep until the heavy machinery was able to pull out a good, you know, part of the debris. You couldn't really get down here. You know, the first couple of months, the stuff was just... You had 110 stories of building compressed into about 7 or 8 stories of sublevels. So you just imagine how compressed that is. You really couldn't get that deep. But later on, as they started pulling the stuff out and they got down that deep, yes, there was molten metal down there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, like, that's one of the interesting things about... the whole thing in 9/11. Like, I mean, I talked to a lady from John Hopkins University. She was down there with, like, some I seen an article and she was putting, like, some things that monitored the air on people. And she told me, like, I talked to her the other day and she told me that she didn't see any molten metal herself, but she talked to a lot of rescue workers that did see it. And then I tried calling this other guy from the CDC. I saw that he was quoted saying it was like Mount St. Helens had exploded. It was like lava. There was molten metal everywhere. And then when I called him and tried to ask him about it, he hung up on me. So I don't know.
Did he really?
Yeah. He's working at the Florida Health Department now. His name's Ron Berger.
But, I wonder why he hung up on you.
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, the whole problem with that situation is that NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, said that there's no witnesses to molten metal, and there's no reports of molten metal from Ground Zero.
That's bullshit. That's a load of shit. Not only was it molten metal, but there were beams that got so hot that they were bent, and they weren't bent. These beams couldn't have bent without being heated up. Beams that were 2 inches thick. You can't just bend a 2-inch thick steel beam. They had to have been bent. They had to have been heated up in order to bend.
Yeah, as I seen in some other documentary, too, there was, like, some guys, and they said it was like a foundry down there. It was, like, molten metal flowing everywhere.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty shit, let me tell you something. And there was also the stuff that I've been finding out now that we were exposed to was a lot worse than we thought. Like beryllium, which is a very toxic metal. Have you heard of it?
No, I never heard of that, no.
Yeah, well, they make aircraft out of beryllium, and they actually make a lot of stuff out of beryllium. Very light, very toxic metal. It's very strong also. It's kind of like titanium. It has very low sparking, very spark resistant. They use it in the aeronautic industry. They also use it for making nuclear weapons and so on and so forth. In a solid state, safe, you can hold it in your hand infinitely and you won't get sick. But if you start burning it and melting it, the fumes are toxic. Or if you put it into a machine, like on a grinding wheel, the dust is toxic also.
Well, yeah, I was reading like some accounts where one guy said he didn't find anything bigger than like the number pad on from a phone. Like everything was like turned to dust, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I found a couple of pieces of glass. There weren't many. Found a couple of pieces of marble that I believe were from the lobby of the one of the towers. I still have it. One of the museums asked me for it, but I'm not giving it up right now.
Like, do you have any dust from that, from there?
I still have my respirator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which we never cleaned out. So, I'm going to assume that any of the toxins that I breathe in are still in my respirator.
So, I guess, like, have you ever looked at, like, the stuff on the internet, like all the conspiracy theories and everything like that?
Yeah.
Like, I guess...
I don't put anything past the government anymore. I've learned a lot. I'm in Washington, D.C. the past couple of years, trying to get our bill passed. I really don't put anything past our government, but I don't want to believe that the government really had anything to do with killing 3,000 of its own people.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, the way I look at it is it seems like the government's, like, in your country, in my country, and everywhere, it's like, it almost seems like they've been, like, taken over by a bunch of criminals now.
Yeah.
And it's
very corrupt.
And then there's, like,
people about his money.
Yeah, well, money, it's all about money kind of doing stuff. And then even with, like, NIST, like, a lot of people say that their reports on the buildings and everything, those are all, like, frauds. And, like, basically, a lot of people say, and I do believe, too, I don't know, like, call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever, but I don't believe the official story of 9/11. Like, I mean... Even, like, in the commission report, they didn't even talk about, like, World Trade Center 7 coming down that day.
You don't believe that terrorists took over an airplane, you mean, and brought down the towers?
No, I believe airplanes smashed into the towers, yeah. But I don't believe that those towers and Building 7 were able to come down the way they did because fire weakened the steel. Like, I mean, never in the history of the world has high-rise buildings ever fell because fire weakened the steel on them. I mean, like, those towers burnt for, like, what, an hour or so, an hour and a half, and then they just kind of, like, exploded into dust. I mean, like, just looking at them coming down, it doesn't look like they, like, maybe that top piece maybe should have fell over or something, but I don't think they should have exploded into dust from top to bottom the way they did.
Well, they didn't explode. They imploded. They pancaked. Top came down to one level. That level came down on top of another level, and the weight just brought the rest of the building down.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. Like, if they would have pancaked down, there should have been a stack, like, stacked up, like, at least 30% of the buildings or something. But it was...
There was a stack. There was. It was all compressed into the hole.
Well, I've seen, like, video of people down in the basements in the subway and stuff like that where it looks like mall area and stuff, and it's like they're able to walk around down there after.
That was on the outskirts of the building. The subways were, that was, what you saw were the subways that were going through the towers. They were on the outside.
Oh.
Under the streets.
And you say, like, there was molten metal down there, like.
Mm-hmm.
And fires, they couldn't burn hot enough to make those beams into molten metal. Like, there had to be some other sort of mechanism behind it.
Oh, no, they burnt hot enough. Jet fuel was burning at close to 2,000 degrees. And it was burning for months. That's the fire below the surface burned for months.
Well, I guess, like, NIST and the people that did the official studies, they didn't find anything hotter than, like, 800 degrees.
They weren't there.
And, like, even, like, I seen in a video, well, in one of the towers, there's like a lady standing in the hole where the plane went in, and she's waving, like standing right there in the hole. Like, I mean, if it was that hot, like she wouldn't be able to just be standing there waving out the hole kind of deal.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're referring to. I can tell you one thing, though. If somebody has to make a decision, either to burn to death or jump from 89, 90 stories, it had to be really hot. Now, we have stories of people's shoes that were melting from standing on the floor.
Was that was like after? Like, I seen some news reports.
Oh, wow. In his house. And let me tell you something, it's a known fact, scientific fact, that jet fuel, when it burns, I think I'm not sure exactly, but it was 1,700 or 1,800 degrees. Now when you start adding other material to it, and they have it burning for hours on end, it's going to get hotter and hotter, especially when it's below the surface and it can't ventilate itself. So, I don't think there's anybody disputing that.
Well, what do you think about, like, all the people that, like, look into 9/11 and they say that we were lied to, like, say, like, do you think, like, that they shouldn't be talking about that or, like, they're totally wrong about everything?
They can say whatever they want. I don't care what they say. You know, whoever wants to listen to them, listens to them. I don't. Again, I say I don't put anything past the government, but I haven't had enough proof to make me change my mind that what I believe happened. And what I believe happened was terrorists took over those airplanes, crashed them into the towers. Towers burned for how many floors? 9 or 10 floors were on fire at the same time. Steel heated up, it weakened, and the tower came down. That's what I believe. I had training in structural collapse rescue. That was a textbook pancake collapse of a building.
So, what about like World Trade Center 7? Like, did you guys know? Did everybody know that it might have?
I knew.
It was going to collapse. Like it was.
I drove past it that morning when it was on fire. And it was on fire from one end of the building to the other, with flames shooting out of the window from, I don't remember what floor it was, the fourth, fifth, or sixth floor. And there wasn't a firefighter around. The fires were not being fought. And my partner was driving, and I said, Richie, let's get the fuck away from here because this building's going to come down next. And at 5 o'clock that night, or somewhere around 5 o'clock, it came down. And I stood there and watched it.
Yeah, it came down, like, just, like, right down into its footprint in, like, 6 seconds, like, right down. There was a guy there, I don't know if you know who Barry Jennings is, he worked in World Trade Center 7. He was stuck in World Trade Center 7 with a guy named Michael Hess.
Yeah.
And he reported, like, hearing explosions going off at 10 o'clock in the morning and stuff, and he was, like, walking over dead bodies, and he said, like, there was explosions shooting him back, like lifting him in the air and shooting him back and stuff. He's dead now. Like, he died, strangely, like, last year. He made account for that, and even that might...
When? Before the towers came down?
Yeah, before the second tower came down, he heard explosions going off in World Trade Center 7.
Everything is explainable. That could have been chemicals that were being stored in the towers. It could have been paint thinners and stuff that was flammable, explosive, stored in closets.
Yeah.
It could have been gasoline in there for them to run generators or equipment or something.
And what about one thing I wanted to know was, like, were you guys all mad at Giuliani during the rescue effort? Like, I was reading that there was, like, a gold and silver bullion storage in the basements of the Trade Center. And after they got all the gold out or whatever they could find, they stopped the rescue efforts.
What did they do? They stopped the rescue efforts?
Yeah, like they stopped looking for like people and bodies and stuff, and they started shipping off the steel.
Not true.
That's not true?
Who told you that? No.
I read that on the internet somewhere.
Only there is something you believe. You hear stuff from people that weren't there. I was there. I was there when we took the, when we found the balls and bullion in the safe and we took it out. Because I was in the emergency service unit. Now a guy stood guard with heavy weapons while the stuff was being taken out of the safe. Out of the, it was a huge safe. When it was all being removed, our guys were there with weapons as it was being removed. Nothing stopped.
No, no. Like, when did they start shipping off the steel to China?
The other steel they shipped off to China was probably steel that was already sent to either the Staten Island landfill or wherever they were bringing it to be investigated, wherever they took samples to see if there were any explosives, you know, wherever. It was all gone over with a fine-tooth comb by the NYPD bomb squad, arson explosion unit, the FBI, and whoever else was involved in the investigation.
Well, I talked to some guys from that were involved in the FEMA investigation, and they said that they thought it was like getting rid of evidence because before they could do a intense investigation on it, like they were already shipping out the rubble, and they weren't able to do a thorough investigation on the steel.
First of all, I don't think you know these guys are legit, because I don't think they would tell you that.
Well, yeah, and when I ask, even when I ask these guys about World Trade Center 7, they don't want to talk about it. They just, like, I have no comment, I don't have an opinion on that, I don't want to talk about that, which I thought was kind of odd.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can tell you is what I'm telling you. I was there, and what I saw is what I'm telling you.
But you know for a fact, like, there was molten metal down there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Now, I don't know if it was steel beams that were melted, but there was melted. There was molten metal down there. I don't know what it was from. There were big clumps of melted metal down there that I saw.
And you saw with your own eyes, like, melted metal down there?
Yes, absolutely. Not only did I, but other guys that I was with.
So there's multiple witnesses to this molten metal globs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then NIST has to be lying 100% when they said there was no reports or no witnesses of this because you're a witness yourself.
I don't know what they said. Maybe they are. I have no idea. I don't even know who they are.
They're like the ones that did the building performance tests and all that stuff. Like they did like these 10,000-page reports on it about the collapse of the World Trade Centers, but anybody that knows anything about it, they look into it and they say, well, they talk about everything leading up to the collapse, but they don't give a reason for a total global collapse of the buildings. So basically, those millions of dollar reports are just a waste of time.
Listen, I had so many different people down there. I think so many different people with different opinions. People that think they know what they're talking about, and I really don't.
Right, but I mean, it's not your opinion that there was molten metal, like you see.
Not my opinion, I saw it.
You saw it, and you mm-hmm. said, like, you know other guys that saw it too, right?
I spent 9 months down there, okay? The only people that spent as much time down there as me, my guys, emergency service unit guys, were my guys, the New York City Emergency Service Unit, the Port Authority Emergency Service Unit, the construction workers who were using the grapplers, and the firefighters who spent 30 days in, then they moved in, they came out, and new guys came in for 30 days. That was it. There was nobody else down there towards the end. Anybody who tells you they were there, they're full of shit. Nobody else was allowed in that pit. In the beginning, yes. But once we got a grasp of it and a fence was put up and IDs were issued, there was nobody else allowed in that pit except for NYPD, FDNY, Port Authority Police, and the construction workers. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the feds. There were no volunteer fire departments. There were no volunteer EMTs. There were no outside agencies from other states, except for the federal government. And that's it. So when you talk to other people who say, oh, I was down there, I spent months down there, so they weren't part of the NYPD, FDNY, or worked for one of the construction companies, or the Port Authority Police, and they're lying here.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to get you upset or anything. I was just curious. Like I said,
I know. I'm telling you because I see it every day. I got people that tell me every day. Oh, I spent months down there, and I'm like, oh really? What'd you do down there? No, we were the pigs. They didn't see debris. I'm like, I won't tell them to their face. No, you're full of shit.
It's kind of like, in a way, everybody wants to say they were part of history, kind of thing. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of fraud, and everybody wants to be part of the lawsuit. But I'm in a couple of books, actually, and one of the books that I'm in gives a date. It shows me down there in March, digging through debris, found a pair of pants, and was going through the pockets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which book's that, do you like?
It's called Ground Zero Heroes, and it's by Steve Spack, S-P-A-K.
Uh-huh. So I'd be able to, like, get that on Amazon or something?
Yep, it's on Amazon.
Cool.
He also has a video where he interviews me. It's also called Ground Zero Heroes. It's the book and the video.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I just like to get anything I can, like, that have to do with, like, 9/11. Any video, any books, anything.
Get it. Send it to me. I'll sign it for you if you want.
That'd be kind of neat, yeah. I'd really appreciate that.
No problem.
What about that? I seen like steam coming out of like the ground for a long time, and they were saying that they were bringing in dump trucks full of sand and putting it on the ground. Do you know why they were doing that?
Putting it on the ground or putting it into the hole where the fires were burning?
I guess, well, just all around that area, they kept bringing in dump trucks full of sand and dumping it on Ground Zero, like maybe to smother the fires or something, or?
Yeah, it could be, because a lot of the metals that I was talking about, like beryllium, mercury, and some of the other heavy metals, you're not supposed to fight those fires with water. You're supposed to use either sand, foam, or chemicals called, like, special K and stuff like that. I mean, purple paint truck.
Yeah.
Firefighting. It's metal firefighting. So they might have been dumping sand into the hole. You know, and if the sand is small, it could find its way down to the bottom. Might have tried to smother it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I don't even remember seeing that, to be honest with you.
Well, I've seen some pictures where it's got, like lineups of dump trucks going into Ground Zero, and they're full of sand. And then you see, like, you know, them covering the ground with it. Like,
you might have been seeing the loads of dirt that were piled up, that the grass was put into the dump trucks, and then they took it out of the dump trucks and spread it on the ground for us to go through with rakes.
And that was like to cover up the fires that were burning? Like you said, they were...
No, that was for us to go through. We were waking through it, looking for human remains.
Oh. And I read, too, that they just, a year or two ago, they were still finding human remains on roofs, and they were like maybe like just small little fragments, pieces.
Yeah, bones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Like, I was wondering, like, how they would be able to have... Like how the bodies would just be blown to little bits like that. Like in a collapse, you wouldn't think, like a pancake collapse, you wouldn't think that they would just like be disintegrated.
The bodies that were in the plane when it was blown out of the building when the plane hit.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Have you been down like to Ground Zero during like when they have the anniversaries at all?
Many times.
Okay, this was what I was also hoping to get your opinion on. You know how you have, like, all those people, I guess, like, basically, I call them like the black t-shirt wearing people. Like they all have their 9/11 was an inside job t-shirts, and they all walk around chanting.
Yeah, they call We Are Change.
Yeah. Like, what do you think about all those guys? Do you think that they're like an embarrassment, or does that bother you guys that they do that, or would you think it would be better if they didn't do that kind of stuff?
In the beginning, it bothered me, and I ignored them. They would try to hand me out like one of their flyers and stuff, and I would just rip it up in front of them.
Oh yeah.
No, this is America, and this is what makes America special, because people have the right to say what they want to say here, and you know, they want to protest and they want to say what they feel has happened. You know, then let them say what they feel. It doesn't mean I have to believe it.
Right.
It doesn't mean I have to like it. But they have the right to do it. As long as they're not bothering me, you know, they're not pushing it in my face.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it in front of the families of the people who died. Then, you know, by all means, do what you got to do.
Like, obviously, like, the way you told me about, like, the government and everything, so you don't personally think it's unpatriotic to question the government at all, or?
In a way, it is.
Yeah?
In a way, I think it's unpatriotic. It's like burning an American flag. I don't believe that an American citizen should be allowed to burn an American flag. I think if you burn an American flag, you should be arrested. And, you know, the argument is, well, if somebody buys it, it's theirs. They can do what they want with it.
Yeah.
And what American flags should be property of the United States, whether you pay for it or not. You know, it's like in the police department, we have, like when you're in the union, we have what's called a PBA card, Patrolman's Benevolent Association. It's a card that you carry on, you know, you get, where you give it to your family members, so if they get pulled over by the police, they show it to them and they get courtesy and they won't get a ticket or something.
Mm-hmm.
On the bottom of the card, it says property of the PBA can be revoked at any time. That's what it should be on. That should be on the package of a flag. Even though you paid for it, it's property of America. If you burn it, you should be arrested.
Yeah.
To me, it's almost like you're a traitor. If you're mad at the government, then take a ride to Washington, D.C., hold up your sign, or chant, you know, chant, say whatever you want to say because you have the freedom of speech. But you shouldn't be allowed to burn an American flag, a symbol of your own country. I don't know how they, what do they do in Canada? They allow you to burn Canadian flags here?
Well, I don't know. I never really saw anybody doing it, but I'm sure there has been. I really don't know. But,
I think it's unpatriotic. You can't tell me you love this country and then go and burn a flag. You know, either love this country and the symbols that it stands for, or stands for it, or you don't. If you don't like the government, then take it out on the government, not the flag.
Well, I think, like, America is the most important country in the world because, like, when it comes to the Constitution and freedom and everything, I think we need to keep that. It just seems like that all those rights are being, like, taken away. And it seems like it has a lot to do with because of 9/11. Like,
well, you have to. You have to make a choice in this. You know, I'll say in this world because it's really something that affects the whole world, not just America. You have to make a choice. You either have your rights, or you have to face the consequences that come along with not. You have to either give up some of your rights, or you face the consequences of having all your rights. In other words, you know, we have people that complain that the police are checking their backpacks when they go down to the subway.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's a violation of their freedom. Well, they're going to be the same people who are the first ones to complain when a bomb goes off in the subway station. Why didn't the cops check the backpack? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like you can't have it both ways kind of deal.
Right. You want to be safe, you got to give up some of your rights.
Well, that reminds me of a famous quote. I can't remember exactly who did it. It was like one of the founding fathers or something. He says, people who give up their liberties for security deserve neither or something.
I'm not sure what that quote is, but it's, you know, what I'm saying is true. If you want to live here and you want to live here safe, then you have to give up some of your rights. You got to allow the police and the government to certain things. You have to allow the government, or I mean the police department, to put cameras up in certain areas. We have high crime areas in some of the neighborhoods. The people complaining that these cameras up, says, Big Brother's watching. Well, you know what? We take the cameras down, but don't bitch to us when the robberies go up, or women are getting raped, or kids are getting shot. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
And you want to help, you don't. You got to give up. You can't have both ways. You got to give up a little to get a little. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's
the
problem with this country. You know, they people in this country want everything without giving up anything, and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I wanted to know, what do you think? Would it be okay if I was to call NIST and talk to one of the guys involved in the World Trade Center reports and say, hey, I talked to a guy personally that saw molten metal. Now, you guys said that there was no reports or no witnesses of this, and I'm calling you to tell you you're wrong because I spoke to a guy personally that saw it. Would that be okay? Or?
Okay, sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time, Glenn. I don't want to come across like some, I don't know, whatever. Like I said, I don't believe the official story. I have my reasons for it. I've been looking into 9/11 for like 9 years now.
And you have every right to believe what you want to believe. I don't hold that against you, you know.
But I don't think it's the American government. I think we've all been taken over by criminals, and there's a lot of reasons to believe that, especially beyond 9/11. I think 9/11 is one of the root causes of everything that's happening now. But I really believe there's a push for a global government and a global currency, and they need to tear down America in order to be able to do that.
Yeah, you could be right.
But that's just my opinion. I don't know. But thanks for talking.
I don't doubt anything anymore. I really don't. And that's why I'm taking care of myself and my family and my friends. I have a basement full of weapons, ammo, reserves of food, water, and everything else. No.
You think the shit's gonna hit the fan soon or what?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah?
I really do, yep.
Yeah, well, it does kind of seem like that in a way. I just hope it doesn't, but.
Some people think I'm crazy if I have that, and, last couple of weeks when that guy tried to blow up the car in Times Square.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah.
People called me up and said, you know what, I think you might be onto something. Some of the guys that I used to work with, they went out and they started buying weapons and ammo, and you're getting nervous.
Well,
it's going to happen. We're a target here in America, you know? We're a major target, and terrorists have been very quiet, and there's a reason for that. I mean, they could, I was talking to you about before, they could strap on a school bag, the backpack that the kids wear,
mm-hmm.
and go down to Grand Central Station, where there's thousands of people during rush hour, Penn Station, thousands of people during rush hour, and dozens of very busy train stations and bus depots and stuff here in the United States, right here in New York, and go and kill tens of thousands of people. I think they're saving it up for something bigger, trying to not draw attention to themselves right now because they have a bigger plan.
Well, I don't know. I think it's weird that nobody, if all these Mexicans can just walk across the border, why aren't these terrorists just walking across the border?
They're already here. They don't have to walk across the border. They're already here. You know what? If they're not from another country, then they're homegrown terrorists that were converted over.
Well, I think it's weird, too, that a reporter from CNN was able to find Osama bin Laden and interview him. But now, with all the resources of all the intelligence agencies around the world, they can't find the guy. 10 years
you're
later.
Right.
10 years later.
You're right.
And they had all these exercises going on with hijacked planes that day, exactly what was happening, and it confused everybody. And even with the 7/7 bombings, they had exercises of bombs going off in the subway system the same day that happened. There's a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I said I take care of myself. I don't expect anybody to take care of me. I don't expect the government to take care of us because the government has already shown they can't protect the people. We have to be able to protect ourselves.
Well, I guess that would be kind of socialism where it's like, please, government, take care of me, feed me and clothe me kind of deal.
Well, the government is responsible to make sure the people of this country are safe, just like your country, right?
Yeah.
Aren't they supposed to protect you?
I guess in theory, yeah.
Well, I don't think our government's capable of doing that or doesn't want to do it, so basically, no, I'm ready to do it myself. I'm not going to stand around and wait.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the only thing anybody can do is take care of themselves and their family and friends, and if everybody does that, we'd be better off, I guess.
Well, I'm talking about if something big happens. I mean, you know, you can't wait around for it to happen and then say, I'm going to run out to the store and get whatever I need. It's, you know, God forbid they detonate some kind of a nuclear weapon here or a dirty bomb or something like that. You know, it's going to be too late to run to the store and get the stuff you need. You got to have it already and be prepared.
Yeah. Well, that's what was kind of funny is I used to watch that Fox program called 24 there with Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched it too.
If you want to know the future, all you got to do is watch that show.
Right. The series that just ended, the one that was on this season, was so realistic, real, you know, when you think about it. Very similar to what almost happened here.
Yeah, it's pretty strange how fiction kind of molds into reality sometimes.
Also, if you think about it also, this is something that I tell everybody. That guy who tried to blow up that car in Times Square a couple of weeks ago, they say he went to a Pakistani school to learn how to make explosives, and he was trained in explosives. So you need to tell me he didn't know how to blow up a car. What he did is exactly what he wanted to do, or exactly what they wanted him to do. For whatever reason it might be, maybe to see what the response is, maybe to just send us a message. But if he wanted to blow that car up, he would have blown that car up. If he went to school and learned how to make explosives, that car would have blown up.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, too, yeah.
He had the wrong fertilizer in the car. He had the fertilizer that's non-explosive, you know, when you mix it with fuel oil.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the easiest explosives to make. Ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, called an anthol bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's one of the first ones that they teach them out in Pakistan how to build. All the terrorists know how to make those. So this guy, and he also, remember also, he left the keys to his apartment in the car.
Oh, I didn't hear that, no.
Yeah. That's how he got into his house. He left the keys to his house or his apartment inside the car.
Oh, wow, that's pretty...
Yeah.
That's pretty amateur, I think. Well, make it look like it's pretty amateur anyway.
Yeah. My feelings are it was done intentionally the way it was done. So, something to think about, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Like you said, a lot of crazy things have been going on, and that's one of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I really don't think I'm the only one that thinks that way. I just think they're keeping it quiet. I think that the feds or the police department probably looked at it the same way I do. I was a cop for 20 years, and I dealt with terrorism and explosives and stuff like that, you know, an emergency service unit.
Well, I know that there is a lot of people out there that think there is a problem, and it's not like they're anti-U.S. or anything. They're anti-criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people that sit there and say, oh, well, anybody that's in the NYPD or the FDNY or anybody that has to do with the government or military, they're all part of the conspiracy and they're covering things up. Like, I mean, like, that's just stupid. Or anybody that's in the FBI, they all know the truth. They just don't want to say anything. I figure mostly everybody that does those jobs, they have a good heart and they do that because they care.
That's why they do it. You know, it's true. They didn't make a lot of money, and they still won't make a lot of money. It happens to be a good job. You get decent benefits. You get to retire for 20 years and have benefits to you and your family for the rest of your life. You get a pension. That's why they do it. I mean, believe me, nobody gets involved in any of that crap.
Yeah.
We don't know about any conspiracies, and we don't try to cover up anything.
Well, yeah, and even like you yourself, you're living proof. Like, I mean, you're with the NYPD, and you don't have a problem talking with me. It's not, you know, like...
I don't even know who you are, and I still have no problem talking, you know? you tell me you're some guy from Canada, you could be some reporter who's going to put this all in a book. I really don't care. I'm not saying anything that's illegal or that's going to get me in trouble. I'm telling the truth.
I wondered, like, when I called you earlier, I said, oh, maybe he's not going to answer the phone, he's not going to talk to me, he thinks I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist or something.
I've spoken to them also.
Yeah?
In fact, I have a friend. His name is Luke.
Rudolph?
Yeah, you know him?
Well, I know he's like one of the We Are Change guys, yeah?
Yeah, he's one of our friends at the Feel Good Foundation. He's raised a lot of money for us.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so you guys, okay, that's cool that you kind of get along with him and you guys,
I get along with him. I told him, you know, in the beginning, I said, listen, you believe in what you believe in. I don't believe in it. Don't try pushing it on me and we'll get along just fine.
Yeah.
And we get along. I have no problem with him, you know?
Yeah.
He does his thing when I'm not around and, you know, I have, you know, just like I said, it's America. You can do what you want here.
Well, that's nice to hear, and that's...
Yeah. Just don't try forcing it on people, you know, and do it at the right time. You know, it's like those people now who go around protesting at military funerals.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. If I saw it happen, I'd probably punch a couple of them in the face.
Yeah.
That's the wrong time and the wrong place to do something like that.
Well, yeah, it's just like disrespect. Yeah.
Oh, big-time disrespect. And not only disrespect, but people are in mourning, they're grieving. You don't want to make it worse for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you said, wrong time, wrong place kind of deal.
Yep. So, you know, that's my feelings.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing with me.
My pleasure. And you got my email?
No, but I got your Facebook, so I could just, like, message you through there.
Yeah, it's on there, and I'm also on the Feel Good Foundation website. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I've seen that, too. Yeah, yeah.
I'm on there. You know, it's spelled differently. It's GLENKLEIN.
Okay. Well, I'll check some more stuff out there. And like I said, I want to call NIST just to see what they say about that molten metal report and tell them I talked to someone that saw it. And I'll email you and tell you what they said to me.
Yeah, no problem. Sounds
great.
Good.
Thanks a lot.
What's the website? John and I were on the Star Jones show back in 2007. We did an interview there. We've done tons of interviews on TV, radio, magazines, books, tons of stuff.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. I'll type it in the internet and see what I can find there.
Yeah, it's feelgoodfoundation.com. It's F-E-A-L.
Oh, and it's got all the links to all that stuff on there?
Yeah. Look around. Look around on the site. It's got a ton of stuff.
Okay, I'll do that. And like I said, thank you very much, and take care, and I hope I get to talk to you again sometime, maybe.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Take care, Glenn.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.